Are you aware? Only 30% of Americans raised Catholic are still practicing the faith. Another 38% hold on to their Catholic identity, but seldom or never attend Mass. 29% no longer consider themselves Catholic at all, and the final 3% now part of a non-Christian religion. If we take that same body of statistics and apply them to the national population, the results are even more startling. 10% of all adults in the United States are ex-Catholics. Only 2.6% are converting to the church on an annual basis. 4 in 10 young adults between the ages of 18 and 29 are now religiously unaffiliated, a fourfold increase in just one generation. In other words, nearly four times as many adults have left as have entered the Catholic Church in the past decade. The researchers asked the penetrating question, why? And the responses, many and varied, but a number of important influences surfaced in their research. The first, no particular reason. I simply drifted away. A variation, endemic in the millennial generation. I now consider myself to be spiritual, but not religious. Specific reasons, banal liturgy or vapid preaching. A high number, disgust over the clergy sexual abuse crisis. And last, a smattering of various disagreements with the church's moral stance on homosexuality, women's ordination, birth control, abortion, divorce, remarriage, etc. To be sure, these statistics are sobering and astounding when taken at face value, but I have a very different perspective. I believe that the social science research has the capacity to open the doors of our churches and the doors of our hearts to those who have departed or simply drifted away in recent years. Over a dozen years ago, I became aware of extensive research being conducted on youth and young adults, being done in the greater Seattle area. The research conclusions jumped off the page, and they helped this diocese put together a strategy for approaching a very complex question. The first insight that we gleaned as a diocese came from Sherry Waddell and her research called Forming Intentional Disciples. This is what she wrote. Catholics who leave most often leave early. Nearly half of cradle Catholics who become unaffiliated are gone by the age of 18. And so this diocese, a dozen years ago, took important steps that have paid high dividends over a decade. We ramped up our ministry to youth and young adults. We hired the best youth and young adult leaders we could find. We placed 3 of our finest priests on our college campuses, including our own highly regarded Father Mark Lenneman, along with Father Val, who's here, and Father Jeff in Missoula. We infused resources into the CYC, Legendary Lodge, Justice Outreach, Youth Bible Study, Parish and Deanery programs. The dividends have been fantastic. and the benefits are out of this world. 2, a decade ago, the research told us we can no longer assume that religious identity and religious affiliation will be handed on by the family. And so, in addition to skilled pastors and gifted chaplains, we saw the value of commissioning peer ministers and peer leaders, young adults who love the faith and model Christian discipleship on our campuses, in our deaneries, and parishes. Our own Doug Took was the mastermind behind part 2. The third insight that comes from the research is a work in progress. And I would say, if we tend to this third part, we have the possibility of stopping the attrition and the hemorrhaging and the defection and the mediocrity. And the insight comes from the heart of the Second Vatican Council. The Council Fathers wrote, "It is the fundamental vocation of every baptized Christian to have a call to holiness." Pre-council, the call to holiness was seen as the domain for clergy and professed religion. But the fathers of the council said, no, it is our common denominator, the shared DNA of every baptized person, the lay faithful, priest, deacon, bishop, women and men, no exception, no holdout, no way, no how. In the words of the Council Fathers, all of Christ's followers are invited and bound to the call of holiness. At the National Bishops' Meeting, year after year, I would always find a way to sit next to Avery Cardinal Dulles, the late cardinal who was not a bishop, but a remarkable scholar. And in his research, he made a conclusion based on a lot of study. His conclusion hit my generation very hard. He said that Catholics in my generation have been catechized, think Baltimore Catechism, but unevangelized. In her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, Sherry Waddell says, so many Catholics have been sacramentalized, but unevangelized. And now Pope Francis has issued a universal call to every Christian to become a missionary disciple and to encounter Jesus Christ personally, explicitly, deeply, and daily as the key to unlocking the doors of the church. On the Feast of All Saints, and certainly on the occasion of the dedication of a chapel named after All Saints, I will say to you, this is a time of grace and opportunity for the church, a time when I want to ask you, individually and collectively, challenging and difficult questions that God willing will help to galvanize your faith and help you become a missionary disciple. How are you spiritually at this juncture in your life? Are you aware of the call of holiness to all? Do you have the intentional, intimate relationship with Christ described by the Holy Father and named in this gospel when the Lord asked, who do you say that I am? Is your attachment to the church casual, camouflage, occasional, or deep and dedicated? And then I'll propose to you 8 markers that belong to the missionary disciple. Use them as your personal checklist of spiritual health. Discipleship is a radical, explicit decision to follow Jesus, to claim Him as Lord and Savior. Have you made that intentional decision to follow Him and to help to allow Him to become the heartbeat of your life and the center of your household? Number 2, discipleship is always lived out in community. Disciples of Jesus never go it alone. Are you walking in the company of other believers, supporting one another, challenging one another, praying for one another, or are you on a solo journey? 3, discipleship is nourished in daily prayer, sustained by word and sacrament, and fed every weekend at the altar of the Lord. John Paul called the Eucharist inestimabile donum, the church's most priceless treasure. What is the state of your spiritual life? Number 4, discipleship is expressed in beatitude living, the nexus that connects faith and compassion, worship and charity, liturgy and justice, prayer and service, and a preferential option for the poor. Do you have a lived apostolate to the poor? Are you walking the talk or only serving the Lord in an advisory capacity? The next, discipleship is marked by conversion and a change of heart. Are you responding to God's amazing grace, allowing Him to heal the wounds of sin and setting aside everything that is diseasing your soul? Have you encountered Christ, the divine physician, in the sacrament of reconciliation, and are you an agent of healing in your own family and community? The 6th, discipleship invites others to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, first by the example of your life, and then by personal invitation. Is your life attracting or repelling others, inviting them to live the life of Jesus or not? Discipleship is joyful, emanating peace and happiness. Saint Teresa of Avila wrote, "O Lord, please spare me from sour-faced saints." The next, discipleship is never self-enclosed, never self-congratulatory. It is lived in communion with the wider church, with the See of Peter, the local bishop, and most especially, people in the mission territories. And finally, for this college community, discipleship is at home in the world of faith and reason. Fides et ratio, described by John Paul as 2 wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. The intentional disciple is informed and well-formed, a student of the church and a student of culture. They understand the value of dialogue over diatribe, persuasion over polemic, invitation above invective, a theology of the marketplace and not a theology of a walled city. I believe intentional discipleship is what the fathers of the council had in mind as they described the call to universal holiness. And I am more convinced that intentional discipleship is a force for the future. It is the key that unlocks hope in the church. This chapel, God willing, is a visible reminder that our efforts are paying high spiritual dividends in the community. It is a symbol of our call to deeper and daily discipleship in the particular circumstances of our lives. I close with the earnest prayer that comes from the psalmist when he prayed, "Oh, that today you would hear his voice and not harden your heart." Amen.